All right, can you grab your Bible if you're able to stand? Genesis chapter number 2 tonight, Genesis chapter number 2. We want to read chapters 2 through 50 tonight out loud. We're going to read it responsively while we stand. We're going to wait for Mrs. Stumpfel to get down the stairs. She's not going to sit on the front row. She's going to go to the back row. We're still waiting. You know, Mrs. Stumpfel was only 30, I think, when I came. Was she 30 when I came? So, anyway, she's creeping up on 40 now, so praise the Lord for that, amen. 21 is a lie, tell you what. Anyway, appreciate them very, very much. Genesis chapter number 2. Church family, I want to talk to you real briefly tonight on family problems. You know, when you look in the book of Genesis, Genesis means beginnings. In the beginning, God. And everything that took place in the book of Genesis was really a first. And you know, we talk about that, the law of first mention. Whenever you hear that phrase, the law of first mention, it's usually what it's talking about is a word that's mentioned in the Bible. Where was it mentioned first? And then wherever it's mentioned first usually gives the definition of what that meaning of that word is. So we often refer to that. Genesis, I don't want to use the law of first mention for a word, but I want to use the law of first mention for a family. Adam and Eve were the first family. And if we're going to find out what we need to fix in our families, the first place to go is to Adam and Eve. So tonight, that's what we're going to look at tonight. I won't read the whole chapter. I was just joking with you. But I do want to read verses 15. I'll just read a few and then let you sit and I'll read some more. But in chapter 2, and I want you to look at verse 15, it says this: "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Church, I mean, what tree did God say not to eat from? All right. Father in heaven, I ask you now to please again bless your word tonight. Give us what we need. And Father, strengthen those who are tired. I know that, Lord, just looking at the prayer list tonight, Father, there's some heavy burdens tonight. I ask you to please again answer the prayer request according to your perfect will. And Lord, again, help us to, if we're the one involved or not, help us to have faith. And Lord, realize that you're in control of everything. And Lord, both our health, good or bad. And Father, whatever the problem, whatever the circumstance. Lord, tonight, would you please strengthen our families? In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Church family, Adam and Eve's problem in their marriage, or I should say in their family, was simply disobedience. All right, so it's not going to be deep tonight. There are several families that we can go to in the Bible and we can say, okay, this family had a money problem. Or this family over here had a faith problem. Or this family over here had a criticism problem. When we go back to the law first mentioned and when we look at the first family that God created, I believe with all my heart, the problem where the root of the problem is always going to start in a family is disobedience to God. Alrighty? So and I want you to think about that. And again, the verse that we often quote, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned." So where did sin begin? Sin began in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, they took of the fruit that God said not to eat of. And so that's what caused this. Church, when you look at the families that are going across the United States, I'm sorry, when you look at the families in the United States, there are all kinds of problems. And what happens is we excuse the problem because, well, those are lost people. Or we excuse the problem because we don't really know who they are. But I want to tell you, a lot of the stats that are proclaimed about what's going on in families today, it's not just lost people. It's saved people as well. You know, we talk about that the average divorce rate for the United States of America is about 50%. Can I tell you that that's the same rate? It's actually 42, but it's the same when it comes to Christians as far as the divorce rate. It's not just a matter of, okay, this happens to lost people, this happens to saved people. Church, I mean, all of us still have a sin nature. So it doesn't matter if you're lost or saved, we still have the sin nature. And there's problems that come from, if I can say as we're looking at tonight, disobedience to God. And I want to tell you, there's some sad statistics. When you think about, when you talk about 50% of marriages ending in divorce, then that, guess what that tells us? Half of all American children will witness a divorce in their own family. And not only that, if on a second marriage, they're going to also see that and the greater percentage of those. Now, I'm just trying to say tonight, a lot of stats we can read about how bad our and the problem is with our families. But I want to focus tonight upon the Christian family. I want you to think about your family. You know, when we think about the problems that we have in our marriage, it's not really about I don't have enough money to pay the bills. The problems that we have in our marriage are not things that, it's usually the fruit, not the root, that's the real problem when it comes to having struggles in a person's marriage. Now, I want to just tell you, or family. And inside the room tonight, there are no perfect marriages. There are no perfect families. We already know that. Alrighty? We understand that there are going to be problems. There are going to be difficulties when it comes to trying to have a home that honors and glorifies God. And there are going to be things that you're going to have to face. And sometimes those facing is God's testing you and he's trying your faith and he's increasing your faith. But oftentimes the problems that we're dealing with in our marriage are the same problems that Adam and Eve, the first two that were created, the same problems they dealt with in theirs. And it was simple. It was that God said, don't eat of this fruit. And they wanted to eat of it anyway. All right. And so they did so. So tonight, I want you to think about that idea when it comes to the family. What's the cause to not having unity in the family? What's the cause to not having God's blessing on our family? What's the cause to the problems that we're facing in our family? Now, remember now, I'm not talking about problems that are not self-inflicted. I'm not talking about problems where God's trying to try your faith or trying to teach you so you can teach somebody else. I'm talking about what things are you dealing with in your marriage that could be fixed if we would just simply be obedient to God. Just really in the passage in chapter number 2, flip over to chapter number 3. Let's just read a few more verses if you don't mind. In Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says this in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, church, that's the fall. That was the disobedience from chapter number 2, when God said, I'm going to put you in a garden, but there's only one tree I don't want you to eat of. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they ate of the fruit that God said not to. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot we can look at tonight. Thousands of messages have been preached upon Satan and the temptation of Satan and the first temptation when it came to mankind. We could talk about that tonight. We can talk about what caused Eve to listen to the serpent and caused her to think that it was not, when we go to 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But you remember, the root of the real problem is they disobeyed God. God said, this is what I want you to do. Our families would be a lot stronger if we would simply just obey the Bible and do what the Bible says when it comes to our families. Our problem is not that we don't know. The problem is we're not willing to do what we know. All right. The problem is not, I can't get this child to listen. The problem is you're not doing what the Bible says by spanking your child when your child's not doing right. Amen. Do you understand that what he's talking about is disobedience? Now, can I just tell you tonight, whether you have children tonight or not, Adam and Eve didn't have children when they sinned. It's not a matter of tonight, if you live by yourself, if you're married tonight, if you have children tonight. It goes back to the family or the family unit, whether it's one or more, of what would cause God to bless and what would cause God not to bless. What would cause God to give me direction and use me in my life and what would cause him not to. It all goes back to disobedience. Now, church, I want you to think about tonight, this thought, is why did they disobey? Now, I want to just thinking about the fall of man, but what caused them to disobey? What caused this disunity? Church, the domino effect that took place is Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they're cast out of the garden. They had the perfect marriage because they had the perfect place to have one. Can I just tell you that it goes back to, no matter how perfect your marriage is, no matter how perfect your family is, if you disobey God, there is a domino effect. It affects you. It affects your family. And in Adam's case, it affected mankind and the race of mankind from then until now, simply because of a decision that they should not have made when they took of that fruit. All right, now quickly, I want you to notice the three things here that are mentioned in the passage here. What caused them to disobey God and ruin their family? I want you to look at the first thing with me. I want you to go back in your Bible, if you don't mind. And I want you to look at chapter... I want you to go back to chapter number 2. I'm sorry, chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 9 with me for a second here. In chapter 2, verse number... I'll read verse 8 while you're looking there. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now, I want to stop for just a second here. Think about the statement that is used in that passage there. He said God made all the trees pleasant to the sight and good for food. Church, I mean, if you'll notice, that's those same two things that the devil used to cause Eve to eat of the fruit. In chapter 3 and verse number 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now, what I see in this is this. When God created the Garden of Eden, all of it was good. You know what the devil got them thinking about? The devil got their eyes off of what was good and got their eyes on the one thing that was bad that they could not have. And I want to tell you, the disobedience that took place in their life was because they were looking, I should say it this way, they lost sight of what they had, and they started to look about what they didn't have, which caused them to have disobedience. Can I just tell you something? God did not put us into a box with very little liberty. God's put us in a great world with lots of liberty. And in this world, there are things that will harm your home and not be good for your home. And if you're not careful, you will reach out for those things that are not good for your home when God's given you so much that is good for your home. So here's what they did. They looked at all the trees that God had created. And the Bible says it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, just like the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But instead of being satisfied with all the other trees that God had created and made for them to be able to use for food and pleasant to the eyes, they had to have that one tree that God said, I don't want you eating of. Hey, I want to tell you something. What caused their disobedience is they lost sight of all the good that they had to be able to take of the one bad thing they shouldn't have. You know what causes problems in a marriage is disobedience to God. And you know what caused that disobedience? Not being satisfied with what God's given us. We start to look for other things that will bring satisfaction. And by the way, the world, the flesh, and the devil will always bring a temporary satisfaction. And if we go that direction, what's going to happen? Disobedience to God. And what's going to happen with disobedience to God? It's going to hurt our home. It's going to hurt your marriage. It's going to hurt your children. So we need to be obedient and be satisfied with the good that God has given us instead of looking for the things that we cannot have that are forbidden. And we take of those things and God says, okay, wait a second. You've disobeyed me. Church, I mean, think for just a moment here. There are a lot of things that God's given us that are good in the Christian life for our homes. God's given us a church. God's given Christian education. God's given us His Word. God's given us Christian fellowship. God's given us the Holy Spirit of God. God's given us so many things that are good for us, our families, as well as for us. And then if we're not careful, the eyes of man are never satisfied. And just for me, the eyes of man not as satisfied, that's not just talking about some fleshly thing, but a man searching for a woman. The eyes of man are never satisfied as we, if we're not careful, are constantly looking for things that draw the eye, whether it's things of possession or things that we can't have or shouldn't have, but yet we're wanting to have. Hey, disobedience took place simply because they lost sight of all the other trees and decided they wanted just that one. God's given us too much for us to be dissatisfied and then go looking for the wrong thing that's going to ruin your home simply because not the thing that is, but because of the disobedience that God says that's not what you need for your home. Tonight I can't pinpoint, but I want to tell you something. It can be anything. It can be something that's new that you can't afford. It can be what you bring into your home, whether it's internet or television or something that's not good for your children. If we're constantly looking for something else in our homes that God says, hey, listen, I don't want you having that. I don't want that for you. And we do it anyway. Then I'm going to tell you what happens. That disobedience is what causes broken fellowship. That disobedience is what's going to hurt your home and your family. Why was there disobedience? The disobedience happened, first of all, very clearly, because they lost sight of what God had already given them, and they wanted the one thing that they should not have. Excuse me, the second thing I see here is interesting to me is this. Who was Eve listening to? Now, we say the serpent, but the serpent was really a replica of who? Devil, Satan. Satan comes to the garden, and the first thing he does is he starts questioning God's authority. Hath God said? Church, I mean, the authority in the family is not the father. The authority in the family is God. The father is just simply a delegated authority in the home. Same with the parents. Can I just tell you that I believe the reason they disobeyed is, first of all, they lost sight of all that they had. But I think, second of all, the reason they disobeyed is because of who they were listening to. Church, I mean, Eve was listening to the serpent question God's authority. He goes from, hath God said, to, that's not true. Ye shall not surely die. He went from questioning God to saying, God's lying to you. Now, just remember, think for a second here. Adam and Eve were in a perfect place, and they had a perfect God. God met with them in the cool of the day, and they talked to God on a regular basis. As soon as the devil said, God's lying to you, Eve should have said, we're done. If we want to go a step further, really, when the devil questioned God, she should have said, we're done. Do you understand that whoever has your ear, if you're not careful, is what's going to cause you to disobey God? Why do people get out of church? The reason people get out of church is, yes, because of being backslidden. But can I just tell you that the reason people get out of church is because of who they're listening to? Well, I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't let the church decide what you can and cannot do. It's a matter of who they're listening to. I'm going to tell you something. If you want God's blessing on your life, don't disobey him. How do you not disobey him? Be satisfied with what you got. How do you not disobey him? Be careful who you're listening to. It doesn't matter if it's some radio preacher. It doesn't matter if it's a relative. What we've got to go back to is, if it's contrary to the word of God, I just simply obey the word of God. You think about the different people in the Bible that messed up. Many of them messed up because of who they were listening to. You think about Amnon. The Bible says he had a friend, and he listened to Jonadab. And when he listened to Jonadab, sure enough, he sinned, and then he gets killed later. When you think about Abraham hearkening unto Sarai, his wife, to go into Hagar, and now we have what we have today when it comes to the races like they are, as far as the Jewish race and Islam and all the Arabs that we have. Why do we have that division? Simply because somebody listened to somebody they should not have been listening to. God said, I've got a promised seed, and it's going to come if you just wait for me. You go through the scriptures, you're going to find out that many a times person made a major mistake because of who they were listening to. Who are you listening to? That's why your devotions are of such a priority, because every time you read the word of God, that's who you're listening to. Every time you come to a preaching service and we listen to the word of God, that's who we're listening to. You know, our disobedience comes because we start listening to people who are either carnal or backslidden. We start to listen to what they have to say. And I'm just trying to tell you, you don't see things very clearly. Why do you think to every church in the book of Revelation, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Because it's the Spirit of God that needs to speak us into us. Why did he say, in all thy ways acknowledge him? Because of who we're listening to. Hey, the problems that we have in our marriage, you don't need to be listening to some book that's written by some lost person to tell you how to raise your children. Why don't you read the book of the person who made your children? It's a matter of who you're listening to. Eve messed up because she was listening to the devil, and she should have never been listening to the devil. Again, we're going back, and tonight, again, I feel like we can go to several different families, and we can look at several different things that harm a marriage and harm a family. But when you go back to the book of Genesis, and you find in the very first marriage that they were in a utopia called the Garden of Eden, and yet the fall of man took place there, and that was God bringing a woman to man, the first husband and wife. And in chapter number 2, you get to the end of the chapter, and he says very clearly, a man is supposed to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife because they are one flesh. And God puts those two together. And then God says, in that family, and what happens right off the bat? We have that family being destroyed. We have that family being cast out of the garden. We have mankind starting to die physically because of the sins. All of this train of events that took place simply because they weren't satisfied with all that God put around them. They had to have the one tree that God said not to have. Because of who they were listening to. You don't have to obey God. God's not even telling you the truth. This will make you wise. If you understand, disobedience to God is what's going to harm your home the most. And it's these things that cause us to be disobedient. Hey, praise God for the children you have. Remember, the fruit of the womb is his reward. That God gave you these children, and God's the one that can show you how to raise those children. So again, being satisfied with what we have. And of course, second of all, being careful who we listen to. Remember, the last one's very interesting to me because and you've heard me say this before, but when God came in the cool of the day, he didn't call for Eve. Who'd he call for? Now, church, we also know that Eve ate of the fruit first, and the Bible says that she gave unto her husband. We also know that when God finally confronts Adam and says, Adam, where art thou? And he says, I heard your voice in the cool of the day, but I knew I was naked. He says, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat of the tree I told you not to? And we know what he says. It's that woman. Look at your Bible again, chapter number 3. Look what he says in chapter number 3. Verse number 11, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Verse 11, chapter 3. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, whom thou, and I like how he puts it on God, whom thou gavest to be with me. You talk about passing the buck. You know, it's one thing to blame your wife, but it's another thing to blame God for giving the wife to you. I mean, Adam's not thinking very straight here. The woman that thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, thankfully, Adam didn't say, she put me on the ground and put the fruit in my mouth, and I tried not to eat it. I mean, thankfully, he didn't go that route, because Adam knew what he was doing when he ate of the fruit. Now, let's tie this together, if you don't mind, because I want you to see it with your eyes. I know you've heard it with your ears, but turn over to the book of 1 Timothy real quick. I can read it off the page, but I want you to read this with me. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, this verse, again, in context, is not to give the excuse or that the woman's wrong and the man is right. That's not what God's teaching us here. In fact, in the passage here, he's talking about shamefacedness and sobriety of the woman and how, again, being submissive to her husband. But look what he says in verse number 13. He says, chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2, verse 13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Now, church, let me think for that second here. Adam was not deceived. Now, church, let me, this is what this tells us, okay? Now, girls, stay with me. I'm not going to throw you under the bus here because it's biblical what the Bible's trying to teach here. The Bible's not trying to teach us that the woman was stupid for what she did. The Bible is not trying to teach us here that the woman was the one that's wrong and that Adam was right in what he did. That's not what the Bible is teaching here. What the Bible is teaching is this. When Satan came to Eve, he deceived her, saying, hey, this fruit, it's pleasant to the eyes. It's good for food. It'll make you wise. And then she ate of that fruit, and then she gave to her husband. Now, somewhere between she gave to her husband and 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says, and Adam was not deceived. Are y'all with me so far? Which means Adam knew what was going to take place as soon as he bit that fruit. He knew he was disobeying God. Now, I want to tell you something. Adam is held to a higher responsibility for several reasons, okay? Reason number one, God made man first. Reason number two, he wasn't deceived. Sure, I want to tell you something. When somebody's tricked into something, we say, okay, they're guilty, but we kind of feel sorry for them. But when somebody premeditates, when somebody purposely does something wrong, well, they're going to get what they deserve. Now, follow me tonight. When you think about the disobedience in the home, happened because they were not satisfied with what they had. The disobedience in the home happened because of who they were listening to. But the disobedience in the home happened because somebody didn't take responsibility. I don't know what would have happened to Eve, and we'll never know until we get to heaven, and maybe the Lord will have us never know when we have our glorified bodies. But what would have happened if Adam would not have eaten of the fruit because of not being deceived? What would have happened to the mankind? Would we still be at the Garden of Eden? Now, church, all I know is this, is that the responsibility in the home always falls on the man. And then the responsibility falls upon the parents who are raising those children. Read the book of Proverbs, you're going to find the husband and wife mentioned parallel as far as when it comes to raising children. The father is the one that's most responsible, but parents are both responsible. Now, all I'm trying to get you to see is this. You want your family to make it for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't disobey God. I'm going to tell you how you will disobey God. If you become satisfied with what you have and start to become dissatisfied for what you don't have. I'm going to tell you what's going to cause you to disobey God. When you start listening to the wrong people about how you should be raising your children and what you should be doing spiritually and what's contrary to the word of God and listening to the wrong kinds of people, that's what's going to destroy you and cause you to disobey God, what's going to destroy your home. But this last one's pretty important. What's important about this is taking the responsibility. It's not about Adam. How do you know you're naked? The reason I know I'm naked is because you told me not to eat of that fruit and I ate it anyway. Church family, according to 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 11, 12, and 13, he knew what he did when he ate of the fruit. So why didn't he tell God that? Why did he not just say, God? He wasn't deceived. God, I ate of the fruit and I knew I wasn't supposed to. I want to tell you why. He didn't take responsibility. Can I tell you, if you're going to keep yourself from being disobedient to God, somebody has to take responsibility for the home, and the first person that's supposed to take responsibility is the dad. Amen. Girls, listen to me tonight, ladies. I'm going to tell you something. We tease, and sometimes we come down a little bit hard, but I'm going to tell you something. Your husband is still supposed to be the man of the house, no matter what your personality is. And by the way, I've been here long enough to see some of you girls grow up, and you have personality. Personality. There's another word for that. Stubborn, pushy, naggy. You can get quiet on me, I don't care. Because I want to just tell you something here. You're supposed to be responsible to be the helpmeet that God made you for your husband and not try to run him over. Okay, if you're going to get quiet, we'll just come down and talk for a while then. Trust me, you think this thing through. A lot of the problems in our marriage is because wives do not submit. Now, we can go both directions on this thing tonight. God's commanded the husband to love four times. And how's he supposed to love? He's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Amen. How's he supposed to love his wife? He's supposed to love her as he loves his own body. Okay, so there is a responsibility there. But if we're not careful, are you allowing your husband to lead? God used the word submission and subject when referring to the wife when it comes to her husband. And I want to tell you something. The Bible says you're supposed to submit in everything. And then in Colossians, he says you're supposed to submit to your husband as unto the Lord. So we can make all kinds of excuses. Well, my husband's not the leader that he should be, and my husband's not doing what he's supposed to do. But are you submitting like you're supposed to be? And all I'm trying to say is that if each of us would take the responsibility that we're supposed to have in the home, then we would not be disobedient to God. Right. Adam, you didn't have to eat of that fruit just because your wife ate of that fruit. You knew it was going to kill you, and you knew it was wrong. Disobedience in the home. Listen, there needs to be a man that says, okay, I'm responsible for this. And whether my wife wants to do it or not, or whether she likes this or not, I can't go that direction because I'm responsible and I'm not deceived about this thing, that if our family goes that direction and we're disobedient to God, our children are not going to grow up to serve God. We are going to have multiple problems in our family for years to come simply because I'm not the leader that I'm supposed to be. Fellas, I want to tell you something. It's sometimes if you're not careful, you go out and work your 40 to 60 hour a week to provide for the home like you should. And when you come home, you don't want to deal with all the stuff that your wife is there to deal with. Now remember, your wife is the helpmeet to you, which means when it comes to raising children, she's your helpmeet. Amen. But she is not responsible for raising the children. Hey, it ought to mean something when your wife says to your children, I'm going to tell your father, and he's going to take care of you when he gets home. And if your kids think that's funny, then I'm just telling you something, fella. You're hurting your wife and you're hurting your children. Because your wife's relying upon you to help raise those children. And if the child just every time, you know, he's backtalked his mother, he's fought with his siblings all day long, and then you come home because you're tired and you don't take care of that, you are not being responsible and you're being disobedient to God. Disobedience to God is what broke the first home. I know, again, there's a lot of places we could start, but at the first family, it was Adam and Eve, and their disobedience is what broke the home. So what's going to break your home? I think it's the same three reasons that caused them to be disobedient. They had all the trees, and they weren't satisfied with what they had because they were listening to Satan. They were listening to the wrong people when it came to why they were disobedient. And it's because they did not take the responsibility of what God placed upon them. You know, our children sometimes, especially the older they get, they think they know what's best for them. Our children do not know what's best for them. If that was the case, he wouldn't give them parents. God would not have given them parents. If they thought, if God said, okay, you kids, you can just raise yourself. No, God gave you the parents for you to raise you. My kids are no different than you, as there's been times throughout growing up. Well, how come their family used to do that? I want to tell you why. Because God gave you to this family and these parents to raise you. Parents, listen to me. You do not have to be uncomfortable with how somebody else is raising their family because you're not responsible for their family. You're responsible for your family. You don't have to match your family on how some other family dresses. You don't have to match your family on how some other family disciplines. You don't have to match your family on how some other family educates their children. What you have to do is realize that God placed me with these children and I'm responsible for them. Amen. And fellas, if your wife is not on board, you guys need to go out on a date and talk about how we're going to get on board. Amen. My wife and I have regular conversations about our children, some more than others. But every one of our children, it's not unusual during any given week that I will say to my wife, hey, listen, I'm a little concerned about what they're doing here. On any given week, I'll tell my wife, I said, listen, we're going to change this because I don't like this one being by themselves all the time. On any given week, I'll say, hey, listen, on this one over here, I don't like who they're spending so much time with. And church, I want to just tell you something. You know why? I'm responsible. Amen. Hey, your days are numbered with your children. You know it as well as I do. I look at some of the old timers in here. It was like yesterday, the kids were just growing up. You know, Brother and Sister Stumpfel came, and of course she comes down really slow here, and I give her a hard time. But when I came and she was 30 years old, was Jake 5 at that time? How old are you, Jake? Jake was 4. How old is your sister, Ashley? She's older, right? So about 3 and 5. We'd have a fellowship meeting, and Jake would be sitting across from me, and he'd go get him some food. Was it donuts that I kept stealing from you? He'd go up to the table and get donuts, and he'd come back and sit down and say, hey, can you go get me something? And while he was gone, I'd eat his donut. He'd come back. Oh. I said, we better go get you another one. He went back and got his donut. How many times did I do that to you? 2 or 3 times? I said, hey, can you go get me something? And he's all up there. I'd eat his donut. He's married now, 2 children. Ashley's married now, 75 children. Brother Sister Stumpfel, it was like yesterday, wasn't it? I'm going to tell you something, you cannot wait.
That's right.
Cannot. And it all goes back to this. Are you being disobedient? Are you being disobedient to what God wants for your family, for you? Hey, listen, don't let the devil get in, because that's where it starts, isn't it? Satan doesn't want your home to be blessed. He doesn't want your kids to make it. That's what he doesn't want it. You know, I'm 55, and I know this, if the Lord tarries is coming, we'll see how things continue. Sharon's out of the house. Seth's half and half. I don't know where he's at. Seth in here? Back row? It's a nice place to be. Seth likes it when I use him as an illustration. Samuel's out of the house and married. Silas is next. Silas is in college. He'll be back home then. But Silas is starting to think about girls too. This is so stupid. Stephen, I'll be visiting him in prison. It's just the way it is. No? Yeah, right. Won't be long, Stephen, Lord permitting, he'll be going off to college. And then Stephanie and Sarah and Susanna. Susanna's never going to leave us. She has to stay with me for the rest of her life. Now some dingling's going to come along and probably want to marry her too. But the day's going to come and they're all going to be gone. And one by one we're starting to see them leave. And you know your goal is right now is that you raised them to have a work ethic. You raised them to be controlled as far as being pure and clean. You've raised them to love God. And your hope is that they'll one day still be in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church that believes the King James Bible and that teaches their children, your grandchildren, the ways of the Lord. That's what you hope for. But if you're disobedient, it's not going to happen. Listen, you got to ask God every day, God, help me be obedient to your word. And when the Holy Spirit brings something to your mind, don't try to find somebody to disagree or agree. Just obey the Bible. Obedience or disobedience, that's what it's all about as far as your family. Hey, listen, if you come from a family that, you know, one of the other spouses is not on board, then you be the spouse that does what the Bible says. You say, it's not easy. And I know it's not easy. Goodness gracious, we've had scores. There's people sitting here tonight, scores of people where you're trying to go the right path and your spouse is not encouraging it. You stay on the right path. I'll close with this. I can't remember. We were just here. We weren't here very long. Her name slips my mind as far as who they were, as far as their names. She used to come with her daughter. The fellow was a big guy, had a beard, sold guns. You probably know who I'm talking about, Mr. Stumpel. Mr. Miller, that's right. Not this Miller. There's another Miller. He would come every once in a while. He had a beard, white beard, and he was into guns, like really into guns. And but his wife, she never missed a service. She had a daughter. Might have two, if I remember correctly. I know she had one. Never missed a service. I won't forget. This was years and years ago. Goodness, 25 years ago. She came to me and she says, Pastor, she was crying. She says, Pastor, I says, I just don't know if I can do this. She says, my husband doesn't come to church with me. I sit there by myself or with my daughter, and I just feel so uncomfortable about the whole thing, and I just don't know if I can make it. And I told her then, I said, listen, if your daughter has any hope, you have to be here in church. If your daughter has any hope, you have to do right, regardless of what your husband does. Maybe a year or two, I'd lose track of time. She gave up. She's a sweet woman. She gave up. Now, I don't know until we get to heaven where that road led them. But I'm going to tell you something. You cannot be disobedient to God and it leads you down the right road.
That's right.
Can't happen. Stay faithful. Do right. Be obedient. God will bless you. There's no doubt about it. Let's pray.